You're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. I'm Callie, and it's my life mission to empower you with the knowledge and tools you need to spark positive change in your community. If you're new here, I'm the owner of Bestowed Essentials and Hippie Haven. I started Bestowed Essentials just over 3 years ago, and today our handmade, eco-friendly personal care and cleaning products can be found on the shelves of over 200 stores across the U.S. and Canada. Bestowed Essentials is one of the 15 winners of the Stacey's Rise Project Class of 2020, and we are also recognized by FedEx as one of their top 100 small businesses in the U.S. for 2 years in a row. In December 2019, my team and I opened Hippie Haven, a zero-waste store and community space in Rapid City, South Dakota. Of course, I also host this Hippie Haven podcast, and we release new episodes every Wednesday, which you can get instantly downloaded to your phone for easy listening by subscribing to the Hippie Haven podcast on any of the major podcasting apps. You can find the show notes and transcript for every episode on hippiehavenpodcast.com. You can also learn more about me on our website. You can follow along on Instagram at hippiehavenshop or subscribe to our YouTube channel to see more behind the scenes at both of our Earth Conscious companies. Today's episode is brought to you by Sustain, shame-free products for periods and sex made with your body in mind. Sustain carries menstrual cups, plus a line of 100% organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners with no synthetic additives or fragrance. Their condoms are vegan and fair trade, and their skincare line is paraben and petroleum free. Visit hippiehavenpodcast.com/sustain to shop Sustain products today. My guest today is Ariel Garten. She's a neuroscientist, mom, former psychotherapist, former fashion designer, and the co-founder and visionary of a highly successful tech startup, Muse. Muse tracks your brain during meditation to give you real-time feedback on your meditation, guiding you into the zone and solving that problem most of us have when starting a meditation practice. Muse lets you know when you're doing it right. Ariel and Muse have been featured in over 1,000 articles, including CNN, Forbes, Fortune, Popular Science, New York Times, O Magazine, and more. Ariel's mission in life is to help people understand how their brain and mind work, both the nuts and bolts and neurons, and how that all plays out in the messy and beautiful human experience of living. She inspires people to understand that they can accomplish anything they want by understanding what actually goes on in their own mind. Ariel is also the co-host of the Untangle podcast. Today we're talking about holiday stress, pandemic stress, and how mindfulness and meditation can be used as tools to help you cope and adapt during this stressful period of life. Tell me about yourself and your background with neuroscience.
Well, I grew up right in Toronto, Canada, and I was fascinated by the world and how it worked. So as a little girl, I was always, you know, curious, why is this table hard? Why is this shirt red? Like, why do I experience the world this way? And as I grew older, I began to really wonder about the thing that was doing the whying. You know, why is it that I perceive it as red? It's not that the shirt is red, but there's something in me that's experiencing that as red. What's that? How's that working? So I went to school for neuroscience and then was trained as a psychotherapist and then started working in neuroscience research labs as well as having my own private practice as a therapist and trying to both understand how people understand the world from our own frames, our own brains, and what we can do to help people shift their perceptions and beliefs that may not actually be that accurately aligned with the world in order to help people live freer mental lives.
And what led you to inventing Muse?
So, I mean, it wasn't just me that invented it. It's a full team effort. But I started working in the lab of Dr. Steve Mann. He's one of the inventors of the wearable computer. He's the guy that literally made Google Glass before Google did. And I was starting to work with a system that he had, a brain-computer interface system, where you could put a single electrode on your head, and by shifting your brain state, focusing or relaxing, you could actually affect the world around you. So we would create these concerts where 50 people at a time, 48 people actually, would be able to make music with their mind. So by shifting their brain state, they could actually affect the sound around them. And then myself and my co-founders, Chris Amony and Trevor Coleman, we stood back and said, this technology is incredible, but like, how are we going to actually make people's lives better because of it? You know, we weren't interested in making something that was going to be a game or a flash in the pan. And in my background in psychotherapy, I had been teaching people to meditate and realizing just how hard it was and how much I sucked at meditation. Because when you learn to meditate or when you're doing your practice of meditation, there's nobody inside your head letting you know what's going on in your mind and letting you know if you're doing it right. And so we recognized that with this technology, we could literally give people feedback on what was going on in their brain and let them know when they were focused and when their mind was wandering. And if we could just get more people meditating, then we could probably make the world a slightly better place. And that's how Muse was born.
I want to go back to what you were saying about putting a single electrode on the head and being able to influence the world around you. And especially with the concert, how do you make sound by changing your brain state?
Sure. So what we're using are EEG electrodes. They're just basically a piece of metal with a wire on it with a very, very sensitive set of circuitry. And what we're detecting is your brainwave activity. So when you think or do anything mental, your brainwaves change. And what we see is these just big shifts in electrical activity. So we're seeing when the electrical activity is fast or slow, and it happens in some very precise ways. So when we're making music from your mind, what we would do is read the changes in the electricity coming off your head and then translate those into sound. So when you're very focused, you have a particular brainwave frequency, and so we would give one sound to that. And then as you relax, your brainwave frequency changes, it lowers, and we'd give a different sound to that. So when you're focused, you'd be like, ooh, and when you're relaxed, you'd be like, ooh. And at first it was very basic sounds, but over time we started to get much more involved and engaged in the kind of audio experiences we could create by translating your brain electricity into sound.
And so how does Muse work? What is it exactly?
Sure. So Muse is the brain sensing headband that helps you meditate and sleep. And it's really like a little Fitbit, but instead of being on your wrist, it's on your forehead. And it has EEG sensors that track your brainwave activity and then translate your meditation into guiding sounds. So during a basic focused attention meditation practice, you're focusing your attention on your breath. When your mind wanders away from your breath, it's your job to notice it and then return your attention to your breath. And so with Muse, what we're able to do is actually translate your brain activity so that you can hear when you're focused and you can hear when your mind has wandered. And we use the metaphor that your mind is like the weather. So when you're focused, the weather is calm. When your mind starts wandering, the sound becomes stormy. And it becomes this really beautiful experience of your own mind and this very engaging and intuitive way to understand when your mind wandering and be cued to come back to focused attention on your breath.
And for our listeners who don't know, what exactly is meditation and what is happening in our brain when we meditate?
Sure. Meditation is a practice or a training that leads to healthy and positive mind states. There are many, many, many different definitions of meditation and practices of meditation, but that simple secular one is the one that I use to best help people understand that meditation is the thing that you do regularly or daily that changes your brain and your experience of the world. When we meditate, specifically in a focused attention meditation style or an open monitoring meditation style, what we see happening in the brain is really interesting. We can see changes in the prefrontal cortex. So a focused attention meditation can thicken your prefrontal cortex. We see down activation of the amygdala, the part of your brain that's associated with fight or flight and fear. We see increased connectivity in the corpus callosum. That's the tract that joins your left and right hemisphere. And over time, we can even see a maintenance or an increase in the campus. That's a part of your brain associated with learning and memory. And then in the one that's kind of most important to me, you can also see changes in the temporal parietal junction. That's the part of the brain that's associated with empathy, compassion, and perspective taking. So, you know, when we think about meditation as a practice to change ourselves and to change others around us, these acts of being able to strengthen our prefrontal cortex, which is our decision-making and perspective part of the brain also, and also the part of us that's associated with inhibition. So, you know, we can now choose where we put our attention. We can choose to inhibit our actions. It downregulates the fear response that drives so many of us in ways that are really not helpful or appropriate. And it helps us have greater empathy, compassion, and to be able to take another's perspective. So, you know, in many incredibly good qualities for ourselves and the society around us.
Is it possible for anyone to meditate, or rather, should everyone meditate?
So it's absolutely possible for everyone to meditate. You know, lots of people often say, oh, I'm terrible at meditation. I suck at it. And I think it really comes from an inappropriate expectation of what's supposed to happen during meditation. You know, some people imagine that in meditation, your mind is going to go blank and that's the goal. And if you don't get there, you failed. The truth of the matter is, you know, our minds are moving all the time. Our minds are busy. They have thoughts, and that is okay. The practice of meditation is one that, again, there are many forms, but in a typical focused attention meditation or mindfulness meditation, the practice of meditation is to observe your own thinking, see what's happening in your mind, and then be able to make different choices than the ones that drive you. So it's okay if your brain is bouncing all over the place. You haven't failed at all. It's just your job to notice that it's bouncing and then to say, hey, instead of following these bouncing thoughts, why don't I bring my attention back to my breath? So, you know, meditation is absolutely possible for everyone and has tremendous benefit. So, you know, in cases of extreme trauma or extreme anxiety, sometimes meditation without a teacher is contraindicated because it can take you to some difficult places. But in general, meditation is seen as harmless, helpful, and recommended for all.
And with meditation being so beneficial for us, whether it's just general stress or, like you said, extreme anxiety or trauma, can you give our listeners some idea on how to handle the increased stress with the holidays coming up? We're in a global pandemic. What advice do you have on that?
Great question and so much advice. So the first thing is, it is okay to feel a little bit stressed. You know, the stress goes up, that's okay. When stress goes up, you also have the opportunity to take a breather, take a break, take a deep breath, and allow the stress to drop. One of the things that happens in stressful situations, like around holidays, pandemic, viruses, all these things, is that we can get into a fear mode and then our body gets stuck there. And so our brain is constantly telling us there's a danger, there's a danger, there's a danger. And then when you're in a situation where you're safe, you're like, you're inside your house, you've washed your hands, you're totally fine. Our body is still, and mind is still playing that story if it's not safe. And so in those moments, we have to look back at ourselves and say, I give myself permission to feel at ease now. I give myself permission to not be filled with fear. I give myself permission to feel safe in this moment. And there can be a real disconnect between your mind constant and body that are constantly telling you to not feel safe, and the appropriate actions that you can take to make yourself feel safe, to make yourself actually safe. So, you know, it's not one of those cases of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, like, oh, we shouldn't be afraid. You know, there's no virus. It's, you know, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. It's like, well, you can actually take smart action, but also not be afraid. The two are not mutually exclusive.
What tips do you have specifically for reducing holiday stress in particular?
Sure. And this year is going to be different than other years, and that's okay. So one of the big lessons that we learned from meditation is to not hold on to what was and not struggle against what is. And the sooner we can simply accept what is and not wish it to be different and not, you know, push against what is, the easier it is. So yes, this holiday season is going to be different, and that is okay. It is okay for things to be different. It's also okay to look back on what was, to experience it, to remember it, to relish it, to feel the joy of it. And to simply then put that aside and say that's not what this year is, you might feel some sadness around it, and that's okay. It's just an emotion. But you also got to experience the joy of what was. And then when you turn around and look at what this year will be, ask yourself the question, you know, what am I resisting? And let go of that resistance. Ask yourself the question, what can I embrace to make this joyful and do those things? You know, I'm super excited about all of the Zoom holiday festivities I have lined up. And, you know, my kid is in school for the, I'm Jewish, and my kid is in school for the first time. He's in junior kindergarten, and I am leading 8 days of Zoom Hanukkah candle lighting, which I've never done before, and I'm incredibly excited about. You know, it's going to be different, and that is okay. So that's sort of the mantra to keep telling yourself, you know, and how is it that I can derive joy and meaning from these moments still? Because there is still so much there. So let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's just drink in what is actually in front of us, which is still a lot. And next year, too, will be different.
What stress-producing activities have you personally benefited from throughout the pandemic this year?
So obviously, meditation has been my major go-to. And at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, my mom was in New York City. I was incredibly anxious about her. And I'm generally somebody who's quite relaxed, but I just felt that spike through the roof of, like, you know, like mortal type anxiety, like, oh no, as I'm watching the numbers go up and she's in Manhattan, it's like, you know, I couldn't sleep. And so for me, I turned to meditation to help me fall asleep. We actually were in the midst of building a new tool, Muse S, that it gives you real-time feedback and meditations to help you fall asleep. So that was like a godsend. And then I specifically, created for myself meditations to help myself find safety. So I would lie there and imagine a time or a place where I felt safe. And for me, the feeling of safety is like being in my bed in a blanket that feels safe to me. And I would just allow myself to be there in my own mind. And then I would allow every cell of my body to drink in that feeling of safety. And like sometimes your mind is screaming, no, you're not safe, you're not safe. Like we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's like, well, actually, I've washed my hands, I've taken off my shoes, I've alcohol wiped things, I'm in my home, actually I'm safe. And so it was a real encouraging and allowing of my mind and body to recognize the safety that was here in front of me here and now, and to allow myself to release and to just like perfuse myself in the experience of safety. And that was so transformative in allowing myself to then be clear and happy and smart and, like, you know, take what I felt were the right steps and make sure other people were taking the right steps that they also agreed to. Because I wasn't acting out of fear. I was acting out of smart decision-making to keep myself and my family safe. That was action and not emotion. And so, allowing yourself to relax, allowing yourself to take the time to breathe, allowing yourself, letting you know that you don't actually need to be carrying the stress in order to keep you safe is huge.
How has COVID affected your company, Muse?
So at first, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen and there was a lot of uncertainty initially, but we recognized that we had an incredible role to play as anxiety was heightening and as people weren't sleeping. And so we created a whole set of meditations specifically for dealing with the pandemic, you know, finding focus while working from home, immediate calm, dealing with uncertainty. And so we created many, many meditations and just gave them out for free so that people could have the resources that they needed to deal with what was going on. And then, you know, in general, we've seen a massive increase in people using Muse, either people coming to meditation for the first time and not really being sure what to do, and so they'll pick up a Muse to help them meditate, or people who have existing practices and really wanted the opportunity to go deeper. And then we've also seen lots of great applications in healthcare. So we had a number of studies already running with the Mayo Clinic. They'd been using Muse with breast cancer patients awaiting surgery to show that it decreased the stress and fatigue of cancer care and improved quality of life. And so they then moved to do a study with their frontline physicians using Muse to help them deal with the stress of the emergency room. I have know actually quite a number of other physicians independent of Mayo and frontline care workers who've been using Muse. We created a whole frontline care workers collection. So, you know, we've just been trying to help and support people as best as we can, and then adding additional sleep support because we know sleep is so much harder when you're anxious.
And what does the future hold for Muse?
Oh, that's a great question. So for us, it's really about helping people manage their mind and their bodies and learn from their mind and their bodies so they can make smarter choices about how they interact with the world. So we started by giving people real-time feedback on their brain during meditation, and then we added additional features so you can actually hear the beating of your heart like the beating of a drum and get in touch with your own heartbeat. And breath meditations, because we wanted to give people tools that they could use to immediately relax in the body and shift their physiology, and then sleep so that people could fall asleep better. Now we just released sleep tracking to help people improve their sleep and track it through the night. And so for us, it's really like, what is the next problem that we have as a society that we can possibly help and support in? And so we don't yet know what that is. We will see what the world, you know, brings up to us. But we're just working on continuing to build the tools and continuing to refine the tools and experiences so that people can really improve their experience of living.
Where can we go to learn more about you and to learn more about Muse?
Sure. And I should say, you know, there's lots of ways to learn about yourself without technology. I myself am somebody who actually, this is going to sound really weird, I hate technology, but I am really curious about the mind and the body and the self and tools to give myself greater insight. And so, you know, when I say things like to help you learn more about you, it's like, yeah, of course we can all learn more about ourselves in all sorts of ways. You know, technology is just a tool to help us hone those practices or to give us, you know, extra reinforcement or give us an extra window or a lens, like a microscope or a telescope, you know, inside or into the stars, helps you with technology get closer to something that is already there that you don't need technology for, but it helps you, you know, get a different perspective on it. So if you want to learn more about Muse, you can go to choosemuse.com/welcome.
Is there anything else that you would like to add as we wrap up?
Yeah, that we are all so privileged that we get to live this life in this world. And it might seem like 2020 is crazy and when will it ever end, but all of this is part of the experience, the dynamic experience of living as a human. And, you know, I'm grateful for every moment and every breath that I get the privilege of being alive. And, you know, it's sort of all of our responsibility to take the insanity that has happened and try to make the best that we can from it. But ruining the fact that it happened doesn't help. So, you know, the perspective of accepting what is and seeing how we can move to what we wish to be in the future that will be different, I think is probably the best perspective we can take now.
Beautifully said. Ariel, thank you so much for your time today.
My sincere pleasure and joy. Wishing everyone so much love.
And that's a wrap. Now it's time to take action. If you're new to the idea of mindfulness and meditation, take a few moments today to sit still and take deep breaths. For further impact, check out Muse and everything they have to offer for your meditation practice. Our listeners get a 10% discount with the code CHOOSEMUSE. We've put the link and all the details in the show notes below. I'll be back next week with an episode about living with less stuff, learning to follow your own life path, taking risks, and more. Remember, knowledge is power, so if you learned something from today's episode, share it with someone you know who'd also benefit from this free resource. If you share the podcast on social media, don't forget to tag and follow us at Hippie Haven Shop, or my personal Instagram is at hippie.ceo. This podcast is produced with the help of my communications coordinator, Ray Lynn, who also helps produce our Hippie Haven YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on YouTube to see more behind the scenes at our zero waste company. You can also support our environmental advocacy work here at Hippie Haven by leaving a review for this podcast in whichever app you're using to listen, or buy us a virtual cup of coffee to keep us going. Visit buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven to support our work. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.